Hey, my Travel Wins podcast. I'm lucky to have Jeff Jones. How are you today, Jeff?
Very well. Thank you, Pete.
Nice running into you for my work back down San Diego a few months ago. Maybe a year ago, I guess, maybe.
Yeah, it's over a year now, yeah.
Wow. Jeff is an accomplished musician. That's the best way. You're in, I think, about three or four bands right now.
Yeah. I currently work with Burton Cummings of the Guess Who, Tom Cochran and Red Ryder, as well as the Carpet Frogs that back up Burton Cummings, and my own band.
Jeff Jones Trio?
Yes.
Or is that Roar?
Jeff Jones Trio.
So a rather busy schedule.
Yeah, it keeps me hopping.
What's the how much traveling are you doing per year now for all your gigs and everything?
Well, you know, currently a lot of them are in the province. I live in Toronto, Canada.
Yeah.
And a lot of this fall is drivable for me. But earlier in the year and starting in the new year, I'm back to airports.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, this past summer, I spent a lot of time in airports.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a least favorite?
Well, you know, my home airport here, what they call YYZ, that's the number, the letter that they, you know, there's LAX.
Yeah.
And I'm YYZ. It's actually one of my least favorite. it's ironic, right? Because it's the one I'm always going out of and into. But going out is fine. But coming in, they tend to, your baggage, you always have to wait for.
Longer
than a lot of airports. That's the one thing is being able to come off a plane and not wait too long for your stuff.
Yeah. Well, do you have to, do you pack your base or?
No, usually gear is transported either on ground or by flight with everybody's stuff in a container. Often I'll fly with one instrument, which is generally a spare. So there'll be a main instrument at wherever I'm arriving, and I'll carry a spare that I call a swing, because then I'll use that as a spare whichever act I'm working with.
I gotcha. How different? I'm just trying to think, because do you have different bass setups for the different groups that you play with?
Yeah, I guess it's a little different, but not that much. So, you know, a lot of times when we're flying, when we're doing, you know, flying out to shows, we're not bringing our own amps. We're bringing our own instruments and particular things, but the other stuff is provided on site.
Correct.
So I'm not flying amps and stuff. I'm just flying a bass most of the time and a suitcase.
Okay. And that's now, does that have to go in the oversized baggage? I would think.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's also another part of the pain in the butt of waiting at an airport for the oversized stuff to come out.
Yeah, but I mean, here it seems to all come out at the same time, late. But a lot of other ones, you know, I'm always surprised at LAX how efficient it is for how much traffic there is.
See, and that's I live a half hour away from LAX, and
right.
So that's my main hub, and I like it. I mean, I have no problems. I mean, I figured out all the kind of the side routes and, you know, the different ways to get in and out pretty quick for my wife and I.
Right.
When I get dropped off, but I've never, I don't want to say this out loud. I haven't lost any luggage there.
Yeah.
I haven't had major delays unless it was if I was flying back east and, you know, snowstorm and that kind of thing. But
right. Yeah. No. That is one airport where a lot of us have had good luck in coming in and out and not being held up, not having you know, issues. I did once flying out of LA have my my flight canceled. I was going to Denver, and they canceled my flight and neglected to inform my travel agent or myself, and booked me on a flight that was an hour earlier. So when I arrived there, my flight was leaving.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I was booked on it because they didn't notify anyone. So, but that's not the airport's issue. That was actually, I think it was United. I'm not sure whether it was United or Delta. Or should I not be calling out the specifics? Yeah. I don't know.
Nah, that's fine. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I mean, I definitely try to stay away from it, but it doesn't bother me. I mean,
yeah.
if you've had issues with a carrier or great experiences with one, you know, traveling.
I have not. I most often fly Air Canada, or United. Those are the main two that I'm on, and I have really a good relationship with Air Canada because I do so many miles with them.
Sure.
So a lot of the people at the airports in Canada get to know me a little bit, and the people that I travel with. So, you know, it's kind of okay. But one of my friends that I travel with frequently has had issues in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Huh.
That airport, I think that's YYC. I'm not sure. But often he's had equipment and luggage held up if he's had to go through there.
I don't know. I haven't been into Calgary. I have friends that go to the Stampede a lot.
Right.
So they'll go up for the rodeo, and then obviously our Canadian distribution's actually based in Alberta.
Right. But that's the only place where my one friend he's had delays a couple of, you know, or his instrument didn't show up, and one time there was a friend filling in for me in Calgary. And he lives here in Toronto as well. And when he got back to Toronto, his base was not there. And it was a very, a vintage.
That's your baby, yeah.
It was his baby. And he thought it was gone. They got it to his door 2 days later.
Wow. Yeah, you don't want to lose that. But as a musician, I mean, obviously I would, I don't want to assume. What do you do when a piece of equipment doesn't show up? Just borrow a piece, panic?
yeah, pretty much panic. It's never happened where we've not had something we've needed for a show.
Right.
Stuff has got there just in the nick of time a couple of times, but we've never... I mean, that delay that my friend had, he was going home, so the show went smoothly, but his instrument didn't make it home for a couple of days. No, I've never really had that issue. A couple of times it's been close. We had one of Tom Cochran's guitars was missing for a couple of days, but he had spares at the show, and we were able to do the show. And that guitar arrived at his home a couple of days later.
Yeah, I can imagine like some of the Fenders and all the Strats that people are traveling with, and all of a sudden it just disappears.
Oh, yeah. It's, and a lot of people don't, a lot of musicians I know, they will travel with lesser stuff. They won't take
it. That's right.
Any irreplaceables or anything because they're, you know, concerned. That's why I bought in the early 2000s a second instrument very similar to the first one that I really enjoy, just so that if something happened, I still had one, because I don't know if I can replace this. You know, some people just buy a crappy one and that's what they'll fly with.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But like when you're doing your road trips, especially up in Ontario, you probably have no problem taking your good ones because you're just driving around to them.
Right, right. You know, we're traveling them either in a truck or a car, right? So we'll drag out the nice ones. Yeah, I have a friend that worked for a while. I met Richie Sambora, formerly of John Bon Jovi, a couple of times, and he has, you know, obviously at his level, some incredible vintage instruments that are,
I can imagine,
like just phenomenal and so highly valued. And you know what? He actually takes them whenever he's going out to do a show. He flies those babies.
Wow.
He said, I want to use them. He said, I don't buy them to let them sit at home in the basement.
Yeah, well, he's got a point. I mean, just got to hope that the airport doesn't lose them.
Yep, yep.
But yeah, unless he's flying private, that might be a whole different subject.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, I'm sure sometimes he is, but a lot of time he's flying commercial and he's flying a couple of these real beauties with him. He's never run into a problem. I don't know whether I could. I don't know whether I have stomach for that.
You'd be more worried about the guitars than yourself getting there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You know, well, go ahead, bud. No.
I believe, and I don't know this to be certain, but I believe that the airlines, if they lose whatever is attached to your ticket, they can only pay $250.
Oh yeah, you know they're going to have an out
to replace contents.
Yeah, so unless you insure it.
Yeah, you if you insure it yourself, then of course that's a whole other thing, and a lot of people do, but it costs a lot to insure musical instruments. And some of them are insured on your household insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you take them out. So there is some recourse. But the airline is basically going to give you $250 if they lose your $2,500 instrument.
Yeah, and they might say, oh, sorry. Because, I mean, they're definitely not going to. I used to work for a company that was based in Toronto, in Kitchener. And
okay,
so I'd fly Air Canada all the time. I'd take the red eye from LAX up to Toronto. It's back when the Maple Leaf Gardens was still open. The Pepsi Center had been built, but the garden was still open.
Right.
And I had no problems on Air Canada all the times I flew up there.
Yeah, no, I like them. I've had pretty good luck with them.
Other than the winters being too cold.
Actually, it's aviation. I don't like to call it luck.
Yeah. Well, my wife always says, hey, you know, have a good trip. I go, hey, it has nothing to do with me at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm literally just a passenger hoping that a captain had a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I haven't had one of these experiences, but I was flying out of Dominican Republic.
Wow.
After doing a corporate event down there with Burton Cummings, and he was flying back to Los Angeles, and the rest of us were flying to Toronto, and we were just about to get on our flight, and his flight was scheduled to leave slightly before ours, and then we get a message going, "You're not going to believe what happened. I'm just about to get on the plane, and they took the pilot away in handcuffs." And he was drunk.
Oh, man. See? That's,
yeah.
That's my biggest fear.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever watch the film with what's that famous actor?
Up in the Air? George Clooney? Or
it's called Flight.
Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's called Flight.
And Alcoholics. Yeah.
Yeah, he was, you know, up all night doing drugs, drinking,
hanging
out with the stewardess, and then flying the plane. Like, oh God.
Yeah. I try not to think about that when I have flights coming up. Like, oh man. Just be happy.
You know,
nicely.
But he actually, you know, in the
He was a functioning alcoholic.
Right, right. Yeah. And I'm sure, you know, most are able to control it, conceal it. If they are, it's any walk of life. They're going to be people that are going to be outside the box, right?
Exactly. Yeah, and you've been traveling for more than a few years. You know,
yeah,
whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yep. Yep.
You know, the one thing I wanted to ask you, because you have traveled for a couple of weeks now. Or decades, however you want to look at it.
Okay.
What's the biggest difference from, I mean, and I don't know, you were in Ocean back in the early 70s and you had to put your hand in your hand.
Yes.
And you've been a touring musician for coming up on 50 years?
Yeah. Yeah. I started when I was 16.
Yeah. So, I mean, what are the biggest differences in traveling from the 70s and the 80s and 90s? You know, with the advent of the cell phones and technology that you have nowadays?
Well, yeah, it's sort of knowing, you know, you can see the weather, you can see what the weather's like at your destination, and, you know, there are things like that. You can know potentially before you leave home whether there's a delay for your flight. You could never do that before. You're just going to the airport and
hoping. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big help, because you can just check before you leave and make sure everything's good. You know, I find that to be really helpful.
Yeah. I get the text notifications. So if there's a delay, they'll actually text me and say, "Hey,
yeah,
your flight's 45 minutes late." I'm like, oh, great. I don't have to rush to get out of the house or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. That I find to be the best part of it. It really, really helps. It saves you a bit of grief with going. Yeah.
Well, you know, I remember back, obviously, and I'm a 30 plus year veteran of traveling, but
mm-hmm.
you know, just like you said, it's like, you know, getting to, I used to go to a city. You know, I'd go to Toronto, and it was pre-cell phones and all that, and Google and all that. So you'd either have to rely on your friend for him to show you around the town, because there was nowhere to go. You know, you'd get the books in the concierge at the hotels and all that for all the tourist spots. But I was like, now I can look up and say, like, if I'm going to Denver, because I go to Denver four times a year, and I'll be
right.
Like, what haven't I seen? I'll type in museums of Louisville, Kentucky, and go, oh, let me see what's in Louisville. Let me see what's in, you know, Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. What good restaurant is walking distance
yeah.
from my hotel? Yep. Yeah, all that kind of thing. It's amazing.
That way you're not finding out that, oh, man, I was right there and I should have just gone around the corner and I would have seen, you know.
Exactly, yeah. You never would have known back in
yeah.
the day, right?
That's, mm-hmm. I think that's, I try to use the technology when I'm traveling for good. You know,
yeah,
just always yeah. trying. How, now, you, after 50 years, you know, I mean, you've been around the world literally.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever schedule time to see the sites, or are you guys just on? We're here today and we're gone tomorrow.
I try to when I can, but most often I'm really just concentrating on, you know, finding nutrition. doing a light workout.
That was my next question.
And getting, yeah, because I'm older, I mean, I never bothered with this when I was younger. I was just fit and that was it.
Yeah.
But in the last 15, 20 years, I've had to put a little work into making sure I get some exercise and stretching and whatnot. And it's worked pretty good so far. And I don't have, I'm not on any medications and I've never had any surgeries. So I guess whatever I'm doing is okay. I drink a bit, but I'm okay.
Do you get to go to the doctors and they go, okay, what are you taking? And you go, nothing. And they go, no. Like, what are you taking? And you go, no, I'm good.
Well, no, I've had the same doctor for a number of years.
And
She knows me and nothing's been prescribed for all these years that I've been there. So I just go for my checkup and then they do a little blood work. And then she says, well, you're pretty good. I wish you'd, I'm honest about how many drinks I might have in a week. And she says, well, you could cut back a little bit, but you're not too bad and all your blood work's good. So I just go with it.
I mean, last couple of years with the changing of our health care insurance down here in the States, I've had to switch doctors. And 2 years ago, I got a new doctor. And I went in there. I had just turned 50. And he's like, so what meds are you on? And I'm like, I don't take anything. I go, I've taken a leave once a month, maybe, if I do something stupid.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, like anything. Like, what medicines are you on? I go, nothing. I go, I'm not prescribed anything. I'm not taking anything.
Yeah.
But because that was my next question was, how do you stay fit? And what, do you go out of your way to try and find, better foods now that we are getting older? I ate everywhere.
Oh, for sure. I mean, early days of band is like, oh, there's a McDonald's, grab a burger, away we go,
Exactly.
But not like that any longer. It's been quite a while now. And yeah, we kind of look for good food. And of course, depending on where you go, it's not always convenient. But for the most part, you're going to major centers and there's going to be good food there.
Yeah.
You just have to source it out. And that's pretty much how, it's funny. Both of the groups that I travel mostly with, we have a group, like half of the people in the organization or more always want to find, someone will always find the best restaurant nearby.
Yeah. There's always a foodie in the group.
Yeah. And there's 5 or 6 out of 10 people. And we always get together as a group and go have a good meal if the opportunity is. Sometimes on the show day, it's whatever's at the venue. But if we get someplace the night before, we're branching out and looking for something good.
I had a friend. He was awesome to travel with. He was actually on the San Diego Wine Advisory Board.
Nice.
And so if you ever want to travel with and have a nice dinner with somebody, have a guy that actually is on the Wine Advisory Board.
Oh, God.
I mean, he's telling you exactly why you should drink this and that and pair it with this. And if you're going to order this, and I'm like, oh, my God, you're like a sommelier. And you work for me. This is awesome.
It's wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I have a fine dining restaurant down the street from me here, and I can't afford to eat there often,
but
occasionally I do, and it's fantastic. And my daughter's has a boyfriend who got a job. They're 18. He got a job working in the kitchen as a second there.
Oh, wow.
And, oh, goodness, so at the end of the day, sometimes he'll pop in here with some leftovers or whatever. It's just unbelievable. Very, very lucky. So a lot of my good luck and my health has come from actually my kids. I have a son who's 30 now, and when he was, you know, 7 or 8 till whenever, 20, he always wanted, he's very athletic, so always had to go and throw a football, throw a baseball, kick a soccer ball. That's all he would want to do when he was a little kid. All summer when he wasn't in school, we're going in the pool, then we're coming out and kicking a soccer ball, then we're playing catch, and that really helped me. And then I had my my daughter. I was 48 years old when she was born, and I carried her everywhere.
A lot of work, my friend.
And that's how she would go to sleep, was by me walking with her. And so I did a lot of walking, carrying a 15-pound weight.
Yeah.
So
that was gutsy, my friend. My wife just turned 48, so I'm like, I'm trying to imagine her having a baby. Oh, we were actually talking about that last night, and I was like, pretty happy we've ended that train.
You've gotten through that, yeah.
Yeah, both mine have graduated college. My youngest just got engaged 2 weeks ago.
Oh, beautiful.
So yeah, and she's engaged to a chef.
Oh, there you go.
Small world, kind of weird.
Bring it on. Bring on the food.
I keep inviting them over. I'm like, hey, let me know what you need.
The other thing that's good for for overall getting yourself out of the house and getting a few steps. I have a dog. And,
yeah, me too.
He's a medium to small size dog, but he requires, 2 or 3 good walks every day.
Yeah.
And that really helps, because then you're not even thinking about it. But
it's not for you. Yeah.
Yeah. You're getting out and getting something done. You know,
my dad had a dog, passed away right before he did. And it's weird you say that, because when Monet was walking, you know, he would get up to walk Monet.
Right.
And then when Monet passed away, because she was like 14, 15, and then he stopped walking.
Right.
He stopped doing the exercise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do when I lose this guy. Maybe get another one, but I love him.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at mine as he's sleeping.
Yeah.
he's waiting for his walk, I guess. Yeah. I was going to ask you, over the years, how have you balanced, you know, family, kids, friends? Because, you know, I'm sure you, like myself, you've missed birthdays and anniversaries and holidays.
Yeah.
And
yeah, there's been, things that have gotten away. But I think as we've gotten older and the people that I work with are all, you know, of similar age.
Yeah.
No one is really booking shows where we have to be away over Christmas.
Right. Okay.
Or or that we're away for more than a few weeks at a time. It used to be we'd be gone for a month or 2 months.
Yeah.
We don't really do those anymore. We'll do 2 or 3 weeks max. And most of our work now is flying out, doing 1, 2, or 3 shows, coming back, going out the next weekend, doing, you know. So I do touch base at home more than I ever used to.
Sure.
There's more of a balance to it now, really.
How would you... If you had to talk to a younger musician, you know, in his 20s or 30s,
mm-hmm.
how would you tell him to balance it, knowing what you've been
through? I would tell him, go to school and make sure you get your education. Don't try this at home.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's my own. I always tell kids when I talk to younger musicians, if they're of post-secondary education age, I'd say if you have the opportunity to take it, continue to play or write or dance or paint, whatever it is that you love, do that. But if you have a chance to take courses or attend any education, take that. You don't necessarily have to be a professional musician in order to break through. A lot of the people that cut through now, they're doing other jobs. And you do it because you love it and you make it fun. And then if that branch takes you to where it needs to be full time, or you're going to be able to earn enough to sustain yourself, then you make that jump. But it's very difficult now. I mean, it's always been. I mean, people talk about now or then. It was never easy to just go from being a kid that could play to being on records. I got extremely lucky. It doesn't work like that for everyone. So I just say, do it and enjoy it and put yourself out there. And people can now, I mean, you know, you can make what's close to a finished recording with your iMac.
Yeah. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, my podcast is that. I love my job. My day job is great.
Yeah.
I work with great accounts. My corporate office has got wonderful people that work there. And now that my daughters have moved out, the podcast was kind of my hobby.
Yeah.
And now, you know, if you would have told me a year and a half ago that, hey, you're going to start a podcast that's going to be heard in 56 countries, I'd be like, you've lost your mind.
Right, right.
But that's the advent of technology nowadays.
Right. It's getting you out to places you can't imagine that you would be heard.
Yeah. And talking to people like you.
Yeah. It's,
you know,
just,
I mean,
so good.
Yeah. It's been awesome. And you're exactly right. I mean, I think I have some friends that have been musicians that I've known personally for decades. And even back in the day, they made more money. Now, if they're not touring, they're not making money.
Right, right.
And touring means you're away from your friends and family and all that. So that's tough.
Yeah, yeah. I guess we've also, with our groups, a lot of us have been friends for a lot of years. So when you're touring, you're actually out with a lot of your close friends. For us, it's not just a business. We like to have people working for us, with us. The techs are all people that we've known and loved for years.
I mean, the Carpet Frogs, you've been with 26 years, right?
Right,
and,
yeah.
Tom Cochran was, what, 81, 82, probably around there?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we started in 79.
Okay. So 40 record. Years.
Yeah, yeah. I did have, with Tom Cochran and Red Rider, we were separate through the 90s.
Right.
But then reconnected in 02. And then the Carpet Frogs connected with Burton Cummings at the year 2000. As a matter of fact, we're having our... we're playing New Year's Eve in Nova Scotia, and it's the 20th year that we've been playing together.
Oh, that's amazing.
And pretty much all the same band and crew.
And that's got to really help. Like you were saying, you know, it's not you're not just a touring musician with people you don't know. I mean, you know people. If you've been playing with somebody for 20 years, you know them.
Right, plus, right.
You know, 40 years.
And you know, we're like Felix and Oscar, right?
Exactly.
When we come into a place and guys are squabbling like brothers and people are like, holy smoke, you guys are just squabbling. Well, it's because we fight because we're brothers.
Yeah. Oh, we do the same thing. You know, I have to go, like, well, heck, in less than 2 weeks, I'll be in Vegas for the rodeo, the World Finals rodeo.
Right.
And
right.
I'm there for 16 days. And we work every day. This will be my 11th NFR. So, you know, and then I see them 4 times a year in Denver and as a rodeos and other events and all that. So it's kind of the same way. You have your inside jokes and all that. But it's fun.
You know each other well. You know each other's families a bit, and it's really good.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I always joke, when I started, I had a really young crew that worked for me, and now they're in their 30s. And I guess women getting into their 30s is a big deal, because I've had 2 of the girls that worked for me in Vegas like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to trade you in for some young talent. And they're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, they get worried because so many people have this thing about youth, and it's like, you know, do you see where Keanu Reeves is dating someone his own age and it's a big deal?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, God, we're not all Dennis Quaid here, people.
or David Foster.
David Foster, there's another one. Yeah.
It's Catherine McPhee. It's like, wow, she's younger than your daughter. How'd that work?
Yeah, you know, it's wild. But,
it's a weird world we live in at times.
Yeah.
I always tell ask you this question, because you were born in Chicago, but you're a Canadian, right?
Yeah, but you don't lose your U.S. citizenship unless you. I found out in 2003. I was traveling on a Canadian passport with a work visa to come into San Antonio, and the customs official said, you know, we step over here for a minute. And I'm like, oh, God, this is 2 years after 911.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, what is this? And he goes, have you ever worked for the Canadian government? I go, no. And he said, have you ever been in the armed forces up there? Well, no. Have you ever denounced your American citizenship? Because there is a procedure for that. And I said, no. And he said, well, you're still an American. And when you get back to Toronto, you go to the consular office and get your U.S. passport.
Oh, wow.
So you're entitled, you're able to have both. So I have ever since.
That's probably made it a lot easier for you.
Yeah, it makes crossing the border much simpler. Yeah.
I mean, you've been in Canada for 50 years, so I mean.
Yeah. So I mean, when I came here, I was 13 when my family moved here, so I never had worked or had a social security number or anything like that. So all of that stuff is here in Canada.
That's pretty cool. So obviously you love living up there at this point.
Yeah. You know, but, Chicago, where I was born, doesn't call out to me other than my sister still lives there and she's wonderful. But, you know, it's a funny place, and it was really rough in 66 when my mom and dad decided to move up here. So we never really looked back. My mom and dad, who are no longer with us, but all of their years, my dad would rarely go back. My mom did more so. They just became fully Canadian, and I've enjoyed going back and doing, you know, the little bit of work that I do there. I was going to tell you, Pete, that sometime when you talked about balancing, you know, between the touring and the family life. A few times what I've done is my wife worked in California as a film editor in the 90s.
Okay.
And, And so she has some fondness for it, as do I. It's the one area I probably spent the most time in the States because we did a bunch of recording there
Oh, sure.
in the early days, and I did some again in about 8 or 10 years ago. But at any rate, what we've done is when I've had shows that are booked in California, I will sometimes arrange that I will bring my wife and daughter and stay for an extra period,
There you
like
go.
come down and do the work and make it our vacation. Or one time we went before. I had a week to explore the coast before coming down to LA for a gig. And I've done the
Well, just
same.
the day I met you were just walking around.
Yeah. Well, that was getting in the day before the show and just using that time instead of just sitting in the hotel room, I get out and walk. And that's how I ended up meeting.
But yeah,
But
the
I've done it a couple of times and did it out on the East Coast. We went to Cape Cod,
Oh,
when
nice.
we had a couple of shows in the New York area, and just sort of build it on to the end of that,
It's interesting because my wife, her schedule's pretty busy, except for when I have to go to my stores in Hawaii.
Yeah, all
All
of a sudden.
of a sudden, she's wide open. Yeah. My North Dakota trip, she's busy.
Yeah.
But if Hawaii's on the calendar, she can
Yeah,
work it out.
that's a place, and we're saving up the points because I would really like to take my family there because I've worked there a few times over the years, and I never re you know and we always build because it's so far from here. Generally built in an extra day before and after a show to hang out a little bit. But oh my, it's hard for me because then when you're there, you see people with their families enjoying it. And you go, boy, yeah,
I know that
that's
feeling.
what I want.
Because I've taken a couple trips there, and for me, I have stores on three different islands. So
Okay.
I'll go to Oahu, spend a day there,
Right.
and then jump over to the Big Island, do my appointment there, and then jump over to Maui. And I'm the same way. It's like I'm killing time. I'll walk at the beach, or I'll go out and take pictures, or go for a horseback ride, or whatever, which is
Yeah,
great.
yeah,
But then
yeah.
you see the families, and you're like, oh, this kind of sucks. I should have brought my
Yeah.
daughters, or I should have brought my wife.
Yeah, you're doing it, and it's like, okay, this is nice, but oh boy. Yeah.
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 So I hear you. Yeah,
Yeah, yeah.
in California, it's like I've always told my daughters, you guys live in a place that people like vacation at.
Right.
So appreciate it. Don't be like, oh, it's only 75 degrees today.
Yeah,
When
yeah.
it's the middle of November.
Yeah. Oh God, I don't want to see what it is here. I'll look it up for you here. What is it here? Where I am today? I've messed it up. I was trying to look at the
It's
temperature
74
here.
degrees here right now, Jeff.
Wow.
It was in the 80s yesterday. So,
Wow.
and we're going out to Palm Springs this weekend to see my wife's cousins and all that. It's 79 degrees out there,
Wow.
middle of November.
That's, yeah. Yeah. That's
Sitting
what
with
you need. That's the weather I like. Oh, here we go, Fahrenheit. Okay, I've got 38 Fahrenheit right here.
So yes, what four or two Celsius?
Yeah, that's three.
About three?
Three
Okay, that's close.
Celsius.
That's close.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, at least it's not freezing there.
No, it was, we had an early freeze and a bit of snow last week.
Yeah, Denver did
And
too.
never have that this early, but yeah, oh
You know,
well.
I when I go to Vegas, and I'll be there in less than 2 weeks. December 1st is the first day I'll get there, and
Right.
we have people from literally around the country that come in: Montana, Wyoming, Florida, Georgia, everywhere.
Right,
And
right.
we bring about 105 people to work for us.
Right.
And you know, it's 74 degrees here today. So when I go there, and Vegas gets cold in the winter. I've been there when it snowed on the strip.
Yeah.
And people don't think that, but you know, I think, you know, the high will be 58 and the lows will be in the 30s.
Yeah, it can drop
And
right down.
I always tell people, I go, look, if it's 32 and water freezes, it's cold. I don't care, you know, people, but you know, people from North Dakota, where it's, you know, negative 15,
Right.
they come down, they're in t-shirts. They're like, this
Yeah,
is spring weather.
yeah.
And I'm literally in, I'm in gloves and a scarf and a hat and, you know,
Yeah,
a
yeah.
winter jacket because it's 40
That
degrees. And
freezing mark, that's about it for me.
that's what I always tell people. I don't care what you tell me. I go, I know Mississippi, California, and all that. But if water freezes, it's cold. That's
Yeah.
say what you want. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate the time, and I don't want to take up any more of your time. What's the best way for people to follow what you got going on with the Carpet Frogs or with Burton and Tom?
If you go to Jeff-Jones, that's a hyphen, right? Jeff-Jones.com. All my stuff is generally posted up there for all
Okay.
the bands, and you can see where we're going and what we're doing.
Perfect. And I'll make sure I'll put that on my website as well, so they can just hit the link, hit the click,
Oh,
and
that's excellent. Yeah, 'cause and there's music, there's videos, there's past, present, and future is all there.
Exactly.
And
It's all good stuff.
I'm about to get my Facebook page to where I am actually interacting with people.
You know, it's funny you said your daughter. My daughter's the one that helped me out, my youngest daughter.
Yeah.
With my website, with my recording, my podcast, all that.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I go, I just text her and go, Allie, I go, here's what I'm trying to do. What I, you know, how do I do it?
Yeah.
She was, give me a few minutes, you know?
Yeah, they know how to do it, that's for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah. I'm like,
So I'm gonna get that going a bit. So
well, perfect.
that's where you'll find me. And so yeah, I hope we'll meet again. I hope I get down to I am gonna be in California in February.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be good. I'll be down in San Diego, actually. I don't know where you're going to be, but we can definitely.
I'm gonna be at Palm Desert.
No, that's where I'm going this weekend. Yeah,
I'm gonna be.
you're going to be at a casino out there?
No, there's a theater there. What have I got here? February. It's going to be Talking Sticks Resort in Phoenix.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the Coach House
Oh, nice. That's close.
San Juan Capistrano.
Yeah, I'll go to that one.
Okay, that's February 23rd.
We saw
They
Paul
will
Young
all
there.
show up. They will all show up on my site soon.
Okay.
And then Palm Desert. And where is McCallum Theater? Yeah, Palm Desert
I
after
don't
that.
know that. I know most of the bands that I've seen out there have been at the casinos that they have. They have the Indian
Right.
casinos out there. But the
Right.
McCallum
Yeah.
Theater, that sounds like something formal. Are you gonna be with
It's
Burton or is that with Tom?
that's with these are with Burton. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the McCallum Theater in Palm Desert. It's a beautiful theater.
Wow.
It's a community theater, and it's really nice. And I guess it's the Coach House is the other one.
Yeah, my wife went and saw Paul Young there just
Right,
a few
right.
months ago, and they have a lot of good
So
bands there.
we're actually doing 23rd and 27th.
At the Coach House?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So you're gonna be in California for a little bit then.
Yeah. So
Excellent.
I'll hang on to your number. I'll reach out and see if we can catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great.
Okay, great, great.
Totally
Is
appreciate
there
it.
any other locations where I would find one of those fantastic shirts like this?
There are many. I can send you the links and all that, but I might even be able to find you the link up in the Toronto area. The rep up
Oh,
there, I
okay.
know.
Okay, great. Well, anything like that, yeah, I would love that because I'm telling you this kind of shirt, I mean, people have loved it, and now there's too many pictures of me in it, so I need to
Exactly.
up my game now.
Well, it was so cool that I sold your shirt. People always say, "Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna wear it," and then you never see it. But then, like with you, I saw you actually wearing it on the midway, and I was like, "Oh shit, he actually did wear it." Okay,
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
very cool. Yeah, and
All
there's
right.
for me, my territory. Like I'm a major account. Yet Boot Barn, they have 250 plus stores nationwide,
Oh,
and
okay.
so whenever they open up a new store, they want me to go help set up the store and train the new salespeople with the products I sell.
Right.
And that's what's allowed me, I think 34 states in the last couple of years. So,
Wow.
and then I have all my existing accounts. I have about 60 accounts in California and then the four, three or four in Hawaii.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
I'm running around just like everyone else.
Yeah. Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah. Like I said, I really appreciate the time. And, I always joke with people, Jeff, I go, I love talking to people that travel for work. The negative is they're always traveling for their work, so it's hard to get a hold of them.
Right, right.
Just between my schedule and then everyone else's schedule. So I really
Yeah.
appreciate the time.
No worries. I appreciate being able to talk to you too.
Yeah, so hit me up in February and then we'll definitely
Okay, great, great.
sit
And
down.
if you think of it, any links to any place near me that I could take a look, give me a link.
Yeah, you got it. I'll just send it over to you.
Okay, great.
Perfect,
Great.
Jeff. Well, hey,
All
have a
right.
great holidays.
Thank you. You too. And enjoy the rest of this beautiful day.
Yep.
And
I don't even want to tell you what I'm going to do, but
you're going to the beach.
I'm going to the beach.
Okay. Well, that's okay. That puts a smile on my face.
I got to enjoy it while I can because I,
Yep.
Like you, it's like, everyone's like, "Oh, you're so lucky you live at the beach." I go, "Yeah, but when I'm in a hotel room in Fresno for a couple of days or, even in Vegas, everyone's like, "Oh, you get to go to Vegas for two."
Oh,
Who
it's going
wants
to be
to
so much fun. Yeah.
sleep in a hotel room on the Vegas Strip for 16 days?
Yeah. Not as much fun as.
And I'm not in my 20s.
Right. You're not finishing a day's work and then going out and hitting the casinos and the bars.
Oh, we have people. I have a couple of people that work for me, and I always tell them, I go, "Look, I don't care what you do at night. I don't care.
Yeah.
As long as you're there at 9 a.m. with a smile on
And
your face from 10 to 5, I don't care what you
yeah,
do at
and
night."
you come in and you don't smell funny and you
Yep.
can look me in the eye.
Yep. And
Yeah,
we
I
have a couple of people that they don't sleep for a few nights. I'm
Wow.
like I have one girl, she did three layovers. I call them layovers, but
Yeah,
where
yeah.
I go, "As long as you wear different clothes than the night before, I don't care." She goes, "Oh, I'll always do that." I'm like, "Oh my God."
Yeah.
Like
Wow, yeah.
I couldn't
Strong.
I'm past that point, I guess.
Yeah, they're stronger than me, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to go maybe hit the gym." For me, I'll walk up and down the strip. That's how I like how you say you walk, because that's what I'll
Yeah,
do
yeah.
too. Like I'll get done and I'll put on my comfortable shoes instead of my cowboy boots that I've been in all day, and then
Yeah,
just
yeah.
walk down the strip and then walk back.
Yeah, do a little people watch and it's good.
Yeah, exactly. So,
All
all right,
right.
my friend. Hey, have a great holidays and best wishes for you and your family this holiday season.
Okay, thank you, Pete, and the same to you.
Okay, but I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, cheers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A brand new Jamin built granite townhome in Redstone starting in the 160s? You've got to be kidding me! I love those homes. So stylish, with green space, a playground, communal fire pit, and easy access to all the major roads? That's it. We're done renting. One, two, or three bedrooms.
Well, the dog does like his privacy. Buy now and pay no condo fees for 6 months. Learn more at jamin.com/granite.